Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
This program is paid for by Investors Schooling. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Investors Schooling or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey.
WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The Larry Steinhaus Show.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning, and welcome to the Larry Steinhaus Show. Yes, it is. It's actually December 14th, isn't it?
All day long. All day long
so,
today.
Right. And you know what's so weird? I was about to say something for the people online that the date's wrong, and sure enough, the system crashed again.
Oh, really?
Isn't that terrible?
Oh, I thought you got it fixed. Yeah.
So we have to fix that again? All right. Well, I'll take a couple of minutes and I'll fix it in a couple of minutes while I let you talk. But anyway, the Larry Steinhaus Show is brought to you by Investor Schooling. We are transmitting here from Investor Schooling headquarters. That's right. We actually have a studio in our headquarters. So if you ever come here, you actually know that we're actually sitting in, we're sitting two doors down from our studio, from our headquarters, in a building that we have a studio that we built. It's kind of cool. And anyway, on this show, we discover several ways of making more money. We concentrate on real estate investing, stock options trading, the stock market, and how to maximize your retirement fund without using...
What?
Annuities.
Oh, look, where are we going? I don't know.
Goodness.
I'm sorry.
Clearly, all I hear is annuities.
Yeah.
And you want to maximize your retirement fund? You want to know the best way to maximize your retirement?
Don't use annuities.
You can use annuities at the end of your retirement. So if you want to annuitize your money, that's one thing. We talk about this all the time. It just frustrates me that so many people out there are, you know, there's so many salespeople out there. And, you know, why do they sell annuities? They sell annuities because they make the most money on it.
I get frustrated when I hear of an older person who put all their money in annuities like 20 years ago. And, you know, they're, like, starting to make money on it now.
Well, they're not making money, so they're probably withdrawing it now.
Yeah. Well,
and that's the thing. And that's fine. You know, if you bought an annuity to withdraw it, I know, we're going to get right into the topic.
Didn't you want to do the intro? You haven't even done the intro yet.
I haven't even done the intro yet. You're right. Exactly. All right. I'm here with my awesome co-host, Dr. Deb Anderson. Omri is out today, and he'll be back hopefully tomorrow. Oh, not tomorrow, but next week. We also are sitting here with Kirk. Kirk Corliss is our producer today. So if you want to, you could give us a call. Oh, you know what, Kirk? You have Omri's phone number, Reed?
I sure do.
855-939-1137. That's 855-939-1137. Call us at 855-939-1137. That's 855-939-1137. 37. I won't stop. That's 855-939-1137. That's 855.
I don't know. Do you think it's as good?
It's not as good. I was just saying,
it's not as good.
It's not as good 11. When he's not here.
No,
because when he's here, it's funny. Because he does all the funny faces.
It's funny because, you know, we're hearing the...
Hearing it live, and he's
right,
playing with
not
the microphone.
Live, right, exactly.
You know, it's just, you know, it's
so it's
more
funny, but it's not funny. Exactly,
it's not as funny.
Yeah.
Although there's one where I'm giggling in it, and I think you should maybe play that one because that one makes me laugh. You know, live every time. So you can always play that.
Are
one.
Are you a giggler?
I'm a giggler. Yeah.
You are a giggler. I've noticed that.
I am a giggler. Yeah.
So. All right. So you know what I'm going to do?
What is it you're going to do?
For the people online, I'm going to start this over again. I think. But I'm not sure if that's going to work. Let's see.
Are we on, like, Facebook and...
It stopped for some reason, as usual. So, you know, we're trying to do the Facebook thing. And, you know, I always have a problem. It seems that the newest thing is always having a problem.
Mm.
So I might have to do this. So I'm going to let you talk a little bit. Talk about a deal while I spend 2 minutes just fixing this equipment.
All right. So I am actually going to go... I got a call from a wholesaler. And I don't even know how I got on their list. But... I think it was maybe a month or two ago, I went to go check out this property, and I think I was talking about this. I don't know if I was talking about it on the radio last time, but it smelled so bad that I ended up having to go to Walmart, and I sprayed myself down with Febreze, my Febreze.
So you went through the unit, and it smelled that bad?
Do you remember that? Remember
wow.
I was talking
yeah,
about
I do,
so
I
it?
Yeah, I do remember the story.
It was, it was a four unit, so I don't, like I said, I don't know how they got my number, but it was over like where I like to buy some properties, and it was a four unit, and the cash flow on it was really good, actually. It was making a lot of money. And I was really interested, and I wanted to go take a look at it. And this wholesaler, for whatever reason, is not a big fan of me going to look at properties. And I'm not going to go sight unseen without looking. You know, I'm not going to make an offer sight unseen unless it's a crazy cheap deal. So I wanted to go, and I'm like, let me at least go drive by it. So when I was driving by it, one of the tenants was outside. So I just struck up a conversation, and I was just being really chit-chatty. And I'm like, hey, you know, I was thinking about buying this place. Would you mind if I went inside? He ended up calling the owner, and I was chatting with the owner for a little bit. And then I was able to go inside. And the place was okay. It just needed a lot of work, you know, like maybe some painting, updating some stuff. It was some old carpet. The basement was all full of crap. It was just full of just lots and lots of garbage. But the guy was really nice. He was very friendly. It sounded like his brother used to live there, and his brother had passed, and then he took it over or whatever. So that was apartment one. And then I was able to, I was chatting with him, and then I go outside, and sure enough, another tenant's out there. So I'm like, hey, would you mind if I go into your place, take a look at it, see what it's like, you know, yada, yada. It was a two-bedroom. And he's like, yeah, come on in. So, you know, I was chatting with him for a little bit. He was out there with his dog. He seemed very nice, very friendly. And then he's like, yeah, come on in. And I open up the screen door, and this waft of, like,
oh no,
disgusting smell.
Oh no,
just hits me in the face. It was cat and dog and poop smell.
No.
It was amazing. It's kind of like when it just hits you in the face. It was like it was like punched me right in the face. So I go in there and I immediately start breathing through my mouth and not my nose. You know how like when it's so bad, you got to start breathing through your mouth. And I looked at him. I said, do you mind if I leave this door open? And he's like, yeah, whatever you want. You know,
That's funny.
Of course I left it open. Now I walk in the door and it was a tiny place. It was only a little two bedroom. And I'm telling you, this place was maybe 700 square feet. It was a really small place. Oh, Larry's over here sneezing.
I'm trying to sneeze. It wouldn't sneeze.
Look at the light. You got to look at the light and you sneeze.
And then it doesn't sneeze, or you do sneeze?
You do sneeze if you look at the light. It makes you sneeze. Yeah, it makes the sneeze.
Okay.
Anyway, so
I don't know.
So the one door off to the right, which was the bedroom. So this place had something like 15 or 16 cats. And it had, I think, four dogs. This place of like maybe 700 square feet. So you can, you know, just imagine how disgusting the place was. So anyway, so the first door had which was locked, so I couldn't even get into it. It was the bedroom where his son lives. So three people are living in this, which is crazy. So the door was locked, and I think he had two dogs caged up in there, so I couldn't even go in there. And then the guy had his dog, and there was another dog somewhere else. So maybe there was three in the room. I don't know, whatever. And then you see cats everywhere, like just everywhere. And you see all these like disgusting, dirty smudges all over the wall. So I don't know if they were fingerprint smudges or other smudges. I don't know. And then there was this little couch where you could sit, but you couldn't put your feet anywhere. It was just, but everything about this place, it just was disgusting and it smelled. So I'm walking through, honestly, breathing through my mouth because I just didn't want to breathe anything in. Cats are everywhere. I'm trying not to step on the cats. You know, that's how bad it was. So then we go towards so we walk in. So there's the bedroom to the right. There's a living room there. You walk in and then there is like a little tiny hallway, couple closets. I look in the closets, which are also just disgusting. Like, it's just disgusting. And then I go into the other bedroom, which is literally holds, it's the size of a mattress and maybe 2 feet out. That's it. It was super tiny. Like you could barely stand up in that place. And of course it was covered with crap and there's clothes everywhere. And I don't know how the guy actually was even able to lay down like flat in this place. It was just gross. And again, dirt, smudges, all kinds of crap all along the walls. Then we walk into the kitchen and you see a kitty litter box that's never been changed in a couple years. I swear to God, I didn't see any litter in there. I saw everything else in there, right? And then I think there was like 6 or 7 cats that were curled up on top of the oven. I swear to God, to stay warm. There was a bunch of cats curled up in the front of the oven. Then they had a table in there, and the other cats were curled up because the light was coming in through the window. The sunlight was coming in through the window. And then it was just muck on the floor. Like, it was just muck. Like, you know how you're walking in something and your feet are not steady because it's muck? It was so disgusting. It was truly disgusting. So then I walk into the bathroom, which, you know, makes you want to gag. It's just, like, everything about this place was
that bad, huh?
It was so bad. Wow. And in every room, they had those, you know, those fly strips? You know, those, I don't know, they're like 3 or 4 feet fly strips that hang from the ceiling? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah,
the fly
I know
strips.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Black with flies.
Really?
Dead flies. Black with dead flies. At every single fly strip, there's one in the bathroom, one in the kitchen, one in the living room, and that's one gross. In like the hallway. Black as your shirt, covered in flies. It was the most disgusting place I've ever been in.
Can't wait to buy it, right?
So that was the frustration, right? Because I was really interested in this place. So that was apartment number two. And by the time I got out of there, I had no interest in seeing the other two, right? Because the other lady ended up coming out. I'm like, yeah, I don't need to see your place. It's fine, you know? And then I went out.
Wait, how much did they want for this place?
They wanted $179 for this
place.
What's
it worth if you were to renovate it?
I'd have to put at least $100,000, maybe $80,000 to $100,000 to put it, just to renovate it.
So you're talking about almost $300,000.
Yeah.
Out of your pocket. How many units was it?
Four.
And what were the rents?
The rents totaled around $2,000.
So you couldn't even come close.
$2,000, maybe $2,300 at most.
Yeah, you couldn't even come close. I mean, they're already asking too much money for it. Even if it wasn't that smelly.
Yeah, they were asking way too much for, and I'm kind of glad that I went to look at it because they're like, well, we sent you the pictures. And I ended up going back and saying to the guy, I'm like, I saw the pictures. Have you ever been to the house? He's like, well, no. I said, maybe you should go and take a look at the house.
Oh, that's
and he's
funny.
Like, what do you mean? I said, the smell coming out of that place is amazing. I said, it's true. He's like, yeah, but you can clean that stuff up. And I'm like, no, you have to rip up the floor and right. take out the walls to get rid of that smell. It was so disgusting. I said, so my concern was, one, it was overpriced, and two, if something went wrong, there's all my money. It's gone. I'm done. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. So, didn't even look at the heater. You didn't even look at the roof. You didn't look at anything. You're just concerned with the smell.
Oh, just the smell was unreal. And then they also had, around back, they rented out a garage. What was that?
I don't know.
All right. So around back, they rented out a garage.
That's a good question. There it goes again.
Kirk's over there doing something. I don't know what he's doing over there.
Is it Kirk or is it us?
I don't know. So anyway, so there's a garage out back, and I took pictures of it. It looks like if you touched it, it would fall down. Like, it was just, it was on its last legs, and apparently they were renting that out for like $100 or something. And the backyard is covered in animal feces, you know what I mean? And just, there was a race car there, and there was like all other crap all over the all over the yard. Like, you couldn't use it. You couldn't like throw a ball with your kid there. You know what I mean? Like, it was just disgusting. The place was just truly disgusting. So then I left there, and I went right to Walmart, and I remember texting you saying, you know, I need to go to Walmart and change my clothes.
Get new clothes.
I get new clothes because I just smelled like all that nastiness. It was so gross. Wow. And then I'm looking at Walmart. I'm like, there's nothing here I want to buy. So I ended up buying lavender Febreze, you know, because lavender is calming, right? Lavender is calming. I needed something to calm down because I was so disgusted. And I buy this lavender Febreze, and I go out to my car, and I am spraying myself down with like my shirt, my pants, my shoes, everything. And then, of course, I'm spraying the inside of my car because I was driving in my car with this disgusting smell. So I'm spraying the heck out of my seats to get all this lavender. You know, it was crazy. So then, you know, I end up talking to the wholesaler, and I'm like, yeah, $125, $130, maybe at most. And he's like, well, that's too low. And I'm like, have you seen this place? Have you been in here? I'm like, it's a shame because it was the rent roll, like on the surface, everything was good. You know, in the pictures, they were okay. They weren't great, but they were okay. But once you get in there, it was just the most disgusting thing. It was just truly just, oh my God, so disgusting. I can't get over it. But it was a shame because it made good money. And I'm like, if it was, and the rents were also really low. So the rents for that area were too low. So you would have to bump up the rents, right? So the rents were, I think, like $500 or $600. That's what I'm saying. It was making around $2,000. So like it met the 1% rule. But once you get in there,
it doesn't really meet the 1% rule because of the repairs.
Because of the repairs, right. So that's what I was going to say. So technically it meant the 1% rule. But if I had to change anything on there, I would have lost money completely. Yeah.
So I want to explain the 1% rule to the audience. So the 1% rule basically says, let's say, for example, you buy a house for $100,000. If the rent is not at least, $1,000, then you're probably not going to cash flow in this property. Okay, so that's why. So you know what it is? I think I know why we're having trouble online. I think it's an internet problem.
Oh, okay.
Because I think Facebook is cutting out right now. I got my communication with Kirk is cutting out. I'm actually wondering if we're live on the air because the internet, we need the internet to go to PhD. Hey, Kirk, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, so that's working. So there's something else happening. So I think you guys are, I think we're direct with a line. I think it's the Wi-Fi that's out. So we're having some trouble. So if you guys are listening, you know, just bear with us. But unfortunately, nobody online can watch us right now. Because okay. I think we have a Wi-Fi problem. But good. I'm glad at least Kirk can hear us.
Because
it's happened before. We're talking and all of a sudden the internet's out and no one even knows we're not on the air and we're just having a whole conversation with ourselves.
Yeah,
you know, that's what happens when you do a live radio show. Things happen, right? You know, it's not like these other guys who go in there, they do their show, they cut out the parts that they make mistakes and they redo the show and, you know, and then a week later they play it. We're live.
At least you can call and talk to us. So we're like actual people. So you know what I thought was interesting?
Well, maybe I'm an actual person.
I'm not sure.
You're a doctor.
You know what I thought was cool was that the other day somebody had come into the school and he says, he's like, I know that you don't know me. He's like, but you guys are my friends. You're in the car with me
funny?
All the time.
Are you not funny?
And I thought that was like, so I thought that was really nice actually, because I'm like, oh wow, that's really sweet. And it's just like, because it's true. Like they know us. They, at least it seems as though they know us really well. And then we're like, hey, how are you? They're like, you know, it's almost like you don't know me. How do you not know me? I've been listening to you forever.
Which yeah. And some cool. people have never seen us. Like yeah. they're like, you're Dr. Deb?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
you know, I thought you were. I know.
Be nice. Be careful.
No, I know, but it, yeah, right. Be careful. No, but it's so nice. Funny. It's like you're Larry, and that's Omri, and it's really funny because they like they think they. It's true.
Yeah,
I mean,
you have.
They,
yeah, you have this vision in your head.
Right.
Yeah. And they don't know who we are until we start talking, and then they recognize our voices right away.
Right. Exactly. So and then we start to act just the way we act here. We act in person. So you know. Obviously, Omri's not here today, or we would have been interrupted 15 times.
Yeah. I actually got through my story today, which is actually pretty interesting.
I know. You actually got through your story.
I got through my story. So,
I'm actually impressed.
I know. So I was kind of bummed out a little bit about that property because I really wanted it. But after I saw it, I was just like, ooh, it was just a mess, you know. But I'm actually going to see another property tomorrow. So that's a two-unit.
I know. So tell us about that one, because that's an interesting one.
So that one is, I actually got it from the same wholesaler, and he's been on and off, so I just didn't know what was going on. So he sent me pictures. I'm like, okay, that's fine. I said, I want to go see it. He's like, well, I had some issue with somebody else going to see it, so you can't see it. I'm like, well, okay, if I can't see it, then we're taking, you know, $40,000 off the price. He's like, well, I can't do that. I'm like, well, I'm not willing to take that kind of, you know, chance, because, you know, you might be taking pictures and not take pictures of a cracked foundation that'll cost me $50,000 or more to fix. I'm like, I'm not taking that kind of chance. So then he was a little bit of, frustrated, and I was fine walking away. And then I didn't hear from him for about a week or two. And the next thing you know, he calls me up yesterday saying, okay, I can get you in to see it Sunday. When can you come? And I'm like, oh, all right, great. Cause I was a little frustrated because I actually already made plans for tomorrow. And now I have to refix
they
my
have
plans.
To go there and might have to buy a property. Isn't that terrible?
No, well, I know, but I'm just saying I made plans with our girlfriend of mine, you know, tomorrow, and you know, so which is fine. I mean,
why don't you take her on a date to go see your property?
No, my girlfriend.
I didn't mean to date
shut up, my girlfriend.
I know you can't use those words anymore.
So actually, I don't know if she's straight or gay. Actually, I'm not really sure. But anyway, I'm straight, so that's all that matters. But the my girlfriends are not really all that interested in my real estate life, so I don't really bring it up that much. So I don't think she'd be up for the drive. And
that's because they don't care about money.
I think that they just don't know about it, and I'm, you know, just let's move on from that. But so anyway, so I'm going
to
see. Oh,
she doesn't want me to talk about her friends because her friends might be listening. I doubt it.
No, I'm sure that they're not listening. And my friends are Democrats, so we usually keep, you know, that off the table, like politics off the table.
Right.
But I don't know, whatever. Anyway, so I'm going to go see this two-unit tomorrow. So from the pictures, it looks like one unit is ready to go and ready to rent out. Like, it just needs to be cleaned out. Like, you know, there's a bunch of crap inside. But I was looking at the pictures of the kitchen and the flooring and all that stuff. It looks like it's in relatively decent shape. So I'd be able to probably rent that out right away, it looks like. And the other side looks like it needs a little bit of work. So I also want to go see how much work it requires and what's involved in that. So, you know, so I'm going to take a look at it tomorrow. But I did drop by there last Sunday because I said I'd drop by and I was able to look around outside. So outside it looks okay. It looks like some of the... It has like the elevated deck and the steps going up look like they need to be replaced on both sides. And there might be, I think the deck part is okay, but there might be some pieces of the flooring that might need to get replaced. I'm not sure. But the deck going up, I think, would definitely need to get replaced. But all the doors were locked, all the shades were drawn. So I couldn't see inside to see what was going on. So I'm going to go tomorrow to see what's going on with it. And hopefully I'll have a report back, on Monday.
I'm looking forward to finding out more about it. Yeah. So we'll have the mastermind on Monday and we'll talk about it, right?
Yeah, we'll talk about it Monday. Great, we'll see excellent. How it goes. Yeah. So hopefully it'll go well.
Very cool.
Yeah. So I'm moving. I'm doing stuff.
So I have an interesting question for you.
I have an interesting answer for you.
I bet you don't.
Okay.
So you ever heard the term insider trading?
Yeah.
So when is insider trading not insider trading?
When it's public knowledge.
Or when it's only within the insiders. Think about that, right? So let's say you have a bunch of insiders, of the board of directors, for example, of a company.
Yeah.
And they have information.
Okay.
And they trade on this information.
Is that legal to do?
What?
Is that legal?
Yes.
Really?
But they can't tell others about it.
Okay.
Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting.
So they can actually be on the board of directors, know what's going to happen, make decisions on their stock based on that decision.
Okay.
They still have to report that. They have to report that sale to the SEC, though.
Okay.
Not that it matters, but they have to report the sale.
All right.
But the interesting part is they can sell their stock, they can buy more, whatever it is, based on the information they have, but they can't tell that information to anybody else.
Okay.
So I found this out this weekend, which I thought was really, really interesting. And, you know, one of my friends, I can't tell you who, because that would be insider trading. And I can't tell you what the stock is, and I can't tell you any of this information.
Okay.
And he's on the board of directors.
Okay.
Now, he did not tell me, so just to be clear, he didn't tell me the name of the symbol. He didn't tell me, none of that was revealed, because if he would have told me the name of the symbol, he'd be going to jail.
Okay.
For insider trading, right?
All right.
But he could be an insider, because he was telling me the story. I thought it was pretty wild. He's telling me the story that he's about to make a lot of money in the stock because the stock is about to go up because he knows what's going to happen. And I thought that was very interesting. I said, well, isn't that insider trading? He goes, no, because I'm the insider. I'm like, wow, that's really interesting. So, you know, here's why I'm bringing this up. If you ever see a stock move like a couple of days before something, an announcement comes up, like all of a sudden you're sitting there and the stock hasn't moved, and then it moves. And it moves for 2 or 3 days before, like unusual volume.
Okay.
Or stock price just goes up, I don't know, a couple of percentage points that normally doesn't go.
All right.
So maybe it's been hovering, let's say, for example, between 10, 11, and all of a sudden it goes to 12, 13. And you're like, what happened? And then all of a sudden you notice there's an announcement. And the announcement makes the stock go to 15, 16. And you're like, wow, how did the stock start to move up 2 days before the announcement? And now I know why.
It's all the insiders.
It's all the insiders who are insider trading and doing exactly what they're legally allowed to do.
Okay.
But they can't tell you. So insider trading would be if they tell you. And I just found it fascinating that, that I'm watching the stock. They told me that, well, I'm not watching the stock because I don't know the symbol, but I'm watching his growth. I'm going to watch him grow and see what happens because I'm curious to know what's going to happen. And he could tell me the symbol after the announcement, and I'm looking forward to seeing it. So I'm going to watch the stock and see where it was, see where it went, see how many days before it went up. It's just interesting information to me. I like stuff like this. I like to know how the stock market really works. You know, we teach a theory here called the steak and tuna theory, which most people have no clue what that means because I made it up. And the funny part is, most people come to investor schooling. I teach them the steak and tuna theory, how stock market actually works. And why, why everything you think, about the stock market is probably wrong.
Right, right.
And once you learn the steak and tuna theory, you're going to realize, wow, he's right. But what's interesting about it is most people come in and, maybe they've been trading stocks for a while. Maybe, they've been trading here and there, or they hear things and whatever. And I explain the steak and tuna theory, and they all think I'm crazy.
What I think about the steak and tuna theory, I think it makes it easy to understand.
Like, absolutely.
That's what I like about it, because before, like, I know I've looked into it a little bit before you and I ever met, and I was just overwhelmed with all the terms and all the stuff that you were supposed to do, and I just didn't understand it, so I just kind of moved away from it, because the last thing I want to do is put money into something and not know how it works.
Right,
so I think
exactly.
The way you do with a steak and tuna, like, I was able to read the charts and understand them a lot better. So that makes it easy. I think that makes it.
Yeah, another thing. It's true. It does actually make it easier. So Blake's asking if it's live, but Blake, so Blake's online. I don't even know. He probably can't hear me because it's probably not connected. Oh. So somebody connected to the stream that lasted for about 2 minutes.
Oh.
And they're asking if it's live. Well, yes, it is, Blake, but it's not. I don't even know if you can hear me because...
Well, we're live. For some reason, that,
yeah, we're live on the radio, but we're not live on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, and Twitter. Anyway, so if you got anybody want to call in about anything that has to do with money, please call in. Our phone number is 855. Here we go.
Oh,
go
there we go. Go, go, go. Do it.
939-1137. That's 855-939-1137. Call us at 855-939-1137. That's 855-939-1137. I won't stop. That's 855-939-1137. That's 855.
Oh my God, it's so warm in here.
939-1137.
It really is, actually.
She's actually taking her sweater off, too. She's saying it's so warm in here.
It's so warm in here. I'm reading the phone number.
She's taking her sweater off.
Just my scarf. Just my scarf.
Right. So I'm listening again to, you know, to some people, and I got to be careful how I say this. Let me change my intro to this.
Okay.
So I had another student come to me this week, and sure enough, they pull out their portfolio. So what we do is, we're education. We don't sell products. We don't sell insurance. We don't sell annuities. We don't sell ETFs. We don't sell stock. We teach you how to do it yourself. Okay. So understand that, you know, sometimes we tell people to buy a mutual fund. We don't sell mutual funds. So if you have a registered rep or an advisor that sells mutual funds, we tell you what to do and use him to do it. We have no problem with that. Matter of fact, you know, that's their business. Our business is education. So once again, as always, you know, I have somebody, student comes to me and they bring their portfolio. And what does this student have?
A whole bunch of annuities. Yeah.
And he's young. It's foolish for a guy who's this young to have these annuities. It doesn't make any sense. And the only reason, and I'm going to tell you, and the thing that drives me nuts about annuities is the fact that the only reason registered reps sell them is because they make the most commission on them. And it really bothers me to the point where, like, I keep screaming it and keep talking about it.
Yeah.
Annuities have a specific purpose in life. You know, they were designed specifically so that, let's say, for example, you had $1 million, and you wanted to take that $1 million, deposit it into annuity, and a month later start receiving checks, and those checks would be guaranteed for a certain period of time or the rest of your life, however the annuity is designed. Mm-hmm. That is exactly what they're for. So you're basically saying, listen, you know, I saved up this $1 million and I want to make sure that I can get an income off this for the rest of my life. Now, it may not be the best place to get an income from, but I will tell you that it's still, you know, that's what it's designed for. That's how it works, right? So now we got people who are saying, hey, you know what? One day you're gonna wanna take money out. So why not put the money in an annuity now and let it grow inside the annuity? Well, that's the worst place for it to grow.
Yeah.
I mean, right away there are fees, there are back end commissions. There's all kinds of stuff that comes right off. I just can't deal with it. It drives me nuts that these guys are selling these annuities. Now it's funny because I was recently, and I want to be careful I say it, listening to a show, and it's one of those guys who talks about annuities. And the guy is actually answering every single one of the things I say about annuities. And he goes, yeah, sometimes they have fees. Yeah, sometimes they have that. And sometimes they have surrender charges. They all have surrender charges. And sometimes they don't grow that well. And sometimes they're not that great. And you should check us out, and we'll be able to review it for you. And I'm like, wait a minute. All you're basically doing is repeating what I'm saying, but saying it nicer. And I found it very weird that happened. Anyway, we got David from Harleysville. What's going on, David?
Hey, how you doing?
All right, man.
I got a question about trusts.
All right. I might even have an answer for you.
I'm hoping you do, because you talk about trust and they got a trust inside of a trust. How are you buying real estate at trust? What kind of trust is that?
So most people refer to it as a land trust. I refer to it as a personal property trust. And I just be honest with you, it's the same thing. It's just that I want to call it a personal property trust because it's easier to describe. So let's just call it a land trust if that's what you heard. So basically, the piece of paper called the trust buys the property. I'm the trustee, and there's a beneficiary. And that beneficiary could be me. It could be somebody else. It could be an LLC. It could be a corporation. It could be whatever you want it to be. And that's basically what I do. So every single one of my properties is in a separate trust. And there's a lot of reasons for this. The greatest reason is anonymity. So if you had access to public records and you type in my name, and all the properties were in my name, you could see all the properties I own, right? If I have it in a trust, you'll never find me. And that's really nice. The other thing, too, is I can easily transfer those properties to my heirs without any transfer tax, without any inheritance tax, by using the trust in certain ways. And that's what I do. In fact, I was actually my attorney. I found one attorney who understands my brain. Most attorneys, first of all, estate planning attorneys, in my opinion, they're worse than annuity salesmen. They don't know anything about estate planning. And it cracks me up because I go to estate planning attorneys and I say to them, hey, I buy properties in trust. And they say, why would you do that? And then I explain it to them and they go, that's a really good idea. I go, you're an estate planning attorney. Why aren't you teaching this? Why are you listening to me? And it's funny, but I went to my attorney yesterday. I'm trying to buy a property. It's a complex, very complex deal. And we are using something new. I should say it's not new. It's new to me, which is a dynasty trust, to buy this property to make sure that the seller is protected if I default on a loan, which I thought was fascinating. And it's a very complicated deal. In fact, I don't know if I can explain it on the radio, even if I can explain it with a whiteboard. I'm not sure if I can explain it on the radio at all. But one day, if the deal goes through, I'm going to explain it on a whiteboard in class. Because it's that amazing. So are you on properties now?
I do.
Cool. And you have them in an LLC, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing. This is what everybody teaches. They teach, go get an LLC. Because they've been doing this for 3 years, and they have no idea. And they heard from some other guy, buy an LLC, get an LLC. And it's not a bad idea. It protects the properties from you. So basically, if anybody falls on the property or slips on the property, it can't go through to you, but it doesn't protect the properties from each other. So do you have all your properties in one LLC?
No, separate LLCs.
Okay, at least you did that. Okay, that's fine. So if every property is in a separate LLC, at least you're protecting the properties from each other. The only difference between what I do and what you're doing is it costs less, first of all, every year, so you don't have to file a separate tax return for every one of my trusts. I can file one tax return, include them all the trusts in, even though the properties are separate. And the other thing that it does is anonymity. So I can look up your LLC right now, go to the state of Pennsylvania, assuming you're in Pennsylvania. I can go to the state of Pennsylvania, look up your LLC, and I can find out who the members are in your LLC, and then I find you as the owner. So that's the only real difference between what the two of us are doing. But the fact that they're in separate entities, in your case, is good. Most people don't realize that they need to put them in separate entities.
And so, do you have time for another question about trusts?
Sure, why not? Just for you.
Oh, I appreciate it. I feel special. So, what would be the difference then for an irrevocable trust and a revocable trust?
All right, so that's a really important difference, okay? And the difference is in the name, right? A revocable trust lets you revoke the trust. You could change the beneficiary. You could change the trustee. You could change the asset. You could sell the asset. You could close the trust. An irrevocable trust is a major problem if you decide later that you made a mistake, that you don't want to do this. Now, irrevocable trusts are used in specific, very specific estate planning. It's a very specific estate planning technique. Don't write an irrevocable trust or don't use an irrevocable trust unless you specifically need to. And in most cases, an irrevocable trust can be it's like a tattoo, right? Right. You get a tattoo of your first girlfriend on your chest and then you break up with her. You know, you have that girlfriend on your chest for the rest of your life. And you didn't even marry her. She'll be on your shoulders if you married her.
Ah,
yeah, whatever. But anyway,
I don't have a tattoo of my first girlfriend on my chest.
You don't?
No, I don't.
You had a girlfriend?
No, okay, I don't have a girlfriend.
Now we're going on a tangent again. You know, but David listens to the show, so he figures that's what we're gonna do. So anyway, it's just a bad decision. It could be a bad decision, but there are times where you absolutely must have an irrevocable trust. Some of those are like for children who are. Like maybe you have a special needs child and, you know, you need to make sure that person is taken care of in certain ways. And maybe, there may be it depends on your situation. So I would make sure that your trusts are revocable. Also, in an irrevocable trust, banks won't lend on an irrevocable trust. They'll only lend on a revocable trust. So that's another reason why you want to have a revocable trust. Have you ever been to investor schooling? What'd say?
I went on Thursday by Zoom, and I'm planning on being there Monday.
Come in person. Are you local?
Come
in person.
Very,
yeah, come.
I'm planning on that. I spoke to Debbie several times.
Yeah, good, good. Yeah. Come in person, because it's always fun to meet us, and it's always fun to know who you're talking to and what it is. But yeah, in fact, at the mastermind on Monday, when you come on Monday, ask the question again, because you know it brings a lot of conversation up. We like that. So did you learn something? Did you learn something on Thursday?
For the show, I'll tell you yes.
For the show, it's okay. No, I mean, look, you know, it was about credit scores, and it was about credit. So it was you know, we teach many different things. So sometimes we teach real estate, sometimes we teach credit, sometimes we teach estate planning, sometimes we teach other things. So you know, it's okay. You could be honest. You could say I knew everything he said, which I'll be honest, I doubt you knew everything he said. I'll bet you learned one or two things from his presentation on Thursday, maybe even how your credit score is calculated. Maybe it wasn't important, but you learned something, right? Come on, be honest.
I'll give you that. I'll give you that. I may have learned a little bit on the calculations of it, but I didn't see the relevance to my life right now.
No, that's okay. That's different, because you know, you got to remember that we're teaching to a broad audience. We're teaching financial education, right? So financial education has a lot of pieces to it. You know, remember that, you know, we're teaching credit.
Uneducated.
Yeah, but you know, it's different for different people. We have beginners that come into our class. We have advanced investors. I mean, we have some people who come into our class that own more real estate than I do, and they come into the class to learn the techniques in which I buy real estate. We had one of our students who actually, you know, the guy came in, he owned four businesses, and he owned a whole bunch of real estate, and since he became a student, he increased his net worth $6 million because of the techniques we taught him. So it's not like he didn't learn anything. He learned a lot. Did he know a whole lot of stuff before he came? Absolutely. And I used to love it when I came in, you know, start teaching him stuff. He would be the one in the class going, wow.
Yeah, I remember.
Wow. You know, now he's been a student for like 2 or 3 years, and I don't wow him anymore.
Yeah.
But he was amazed that he started doing some of these techniques, and it just blows his mind.
He's done very well. He's done very well.
Cool. All right. So we're looking forward to seeing you on Monday night, David. I'm looking forward to meeting you. And that's it, man. Thanks so much.
All right. We'll see you. Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. All right. Let's do this. Why don't we go to a commercial? And we'll come back in a couple minutes.
This is Larry Steinitz with Investor Schooling. Do you know when the best time to buy investment properties is? It's now. It's always now. You just need to learn how to buy them correctly. Go to investorschooling.com and sign up for a complimentary class this Thursday night and learn how to buy investment properties and make money every time. That's right. That's what we teach. We teach how to buy investment properties and make money every time. Go to investorschooling.com and RSVP right now. Take a class this Thursday night at 7 o'clock. That's investorschooling.com. This is Larry Steinhaus with Investor Schooling. Are you ready for retirement? Have you prepared everything you need? Well, in Investor Schooling, we will teach you ways to better prepare for your retirement using real estate and the stock market. But you need to learn how to do it right. And that's what we teach. At Investor Schooling, we sell nothing but education. Come to Investor Schooling and learn how to have a better retirement. Go to investorschooling.com and RSVP right now for this Thursday's class at 7 o'clock. Go to investorschooling.com. That's investorschooling.com. This is Larry Steinitz with Investor Schooling. Don't go through life ignorant about how to become a millionaire. Learn how to invest in real estate, the stock market, precious metals, and learn from an expert. At Investor Schooling, we teach these things and more. We only provide education, and we will teach you how to leverage real estate, how to leverage the stock market, and how to leverage precious metals to make more money than you've ever made before. Go to investorschooling.com and take a complimentary class this Thursday. We will see you there. Investorschooling.com. That's investorschooling.com. This is Larry Steinitz with Investor Schooling. You may know me from my book, Money Hacks. You may know me from my radio shows. And you may even know me from some of these commercials. But listen, I'm teaching stuff that people need to learn about money. In fact, my favorite topic is money. So go to investorschooling.com and you will learn things about money that you never even knew existed. We will teach you things about real estate, about the stock market, and about how to use your IRAs properly. Go to investorschooling.com and sign up for a complimentary class this Thursday night at 7 o'clock. That's investorschooling.com.
This program is paid for by Investor Schooling.
All right. I'm so excited. I love this show. This show is just so much fun. I do like it. I don't know if I like it better in the morning or the afternoon. I like the afternoon because it's 2 hours. But I think I like the morning better because, you know, now I have my whole day to myself.
Yeah, then we still have the whole day to do whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm Larry Steinhaus. Welcome back to the Larry Steinhaus Show. I'm here with Dr. Deb, who is my favorite.
Your favorite.
My favorite partner.
Your favorite partner.
My favorite partner. Right?
Okay.
Because, you know, you're just so much more pleasurable than the other one.
Be careful. You're going to get yourself in trouble.
Oh, he's not listening. He's trying to listen online and go wondering why it's not working. And it's probably his fault. No, maybe. I don't know. All right. Anyway, so we have, because we're having some technical difficulties right now, Kirk, you said there's some callers. I can't see it on the screen, unfortunately.
No. On your YouTube channel, your live stream, Kimmy says, I'm listening on the radio. I keep checking to see if YouTube is working.
Oh, okay.
And she gave a shout out to me. So, hi, Kimmy.
Unfortunately, it's not.
Not working. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. We're having an internet problem here, and so I'm really glad that the transmission's going through. I think it's luckily we have hardwire to the studio.
Okay.
And we have Wi-Fi with all the rest of it. I think the Wi-Fi is the problem, not the hardwire. But I can't fix it right now because obviously, you know, I'm kind of stuck in this chair talking to all you great people.
You're stuck in the chair.
So more importantly, you know, since we don't have our regular listeners online, maybe we have some regular listeners in their car who want to give us a call. And the phone number is, go ahead.
That's you, Kirk.
855-939-1137. That's 855-939-1137. Call us at 855-939-1137. That's 855-939-1137. I won't stop. That's 855-939-1137. That's 855-939-1137.
Debbie even laughs when it's recorded. It's just hysterical. She even laughs when it's recorded. How crazy is that?
Just the way he does that.
I love
Doc
Debbie's laugh. I love it.
I know, right? I know, exactly. If it wasn't for Debbie's laugh, we'd all be crying. Right?
That's great.
Insanity. It's all your fault, Deb.
Yeah. Well, you have to laugh sometimes. You know, it breaks up, but whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. Oh, look, I think we're actually live on the air. I think I actually got it to work.
I see a picture. So for the last 15 minutes. There we
go. Maybe not because we're frozen. So who knows? I don't know.
Whatever.
If you're online and you're watching, great. If you're not, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. Whatever. We're there. We're not there. I don't know. But like that's life. Okay. Anyway. No,
we lost
out.
It. Yeah, we just lost it.
Yeah. So we have some Wi-Fi problems. So that's why we're not live on Facebook and LinkedIn and YouTube, whatever. But we're definitely still live on the radio, so give us a call. All right. So where are we now? So we had a great conversation on Thursday. We just talked about it with David, about credit scores and credit building.
So we had a special speaker on Thursday.
Yeah, we did. We had a special speaker.
So you want to talk a little bit about your special speaker?
My special speaker was my son, actually.
Yeah.
Now, I know he's not listening.
Yeah.
So, no, he did a really good job.
He did a great job, actually.
He did a great job. It was one of two little things that I gave him a little bit of tips on.
Yeah.
And it was great. But you got to understand that my son has no interest in what we do.
So my family has no interest in what
right.
we do. Yeah.
But my son writes training programs. Just like, I know you write other things, but he writes training programs for IT companies.
Okay.
So he came to me and he said, listen, you know, you should probably change your training program system. And I'm like, okay, let me give you a shot. So, you know, part of it is I'm always the one speaking, and which is fine, but every once in a while I want to take a day off, or maybe I want to go away.
I speak here and there, you know.
No, I know, and you do speak, and Army does speak, and it's great. So if I'm not there, you guys, but sometimes I need to bring you guys with me too, especially if we're going to a special event.
Yeah.
Like a couple of weeks ago, we went to Vegas. I had to take Army. I couldn't take both of you because you had to stay back and teach the class. So I've been wanting to be able to teach other people how to teach what I teach. So what Joshua said, he said, hey, listen, my son Joshua, and he said that he could create programs that you could easily teach other people to teach what you teach. So I basically said, prove it.
Yeah, so it's like, it's called train the trainer is what that's called. But
so I basically said, prove it. So what he did was he created a program on credit score and credit building.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote the program. And this would be the program that we would give to another instructor.
Okay.
And I said, okay, now prove it. I want you to do the instruction. So he came and he did a great job. And it was interesting because he had, you know, he had a couple of little issues. It wasn't major, a couple of little issues, but nothing major. And it worked out really well. Actually, looks like we're getting a message from Kirk, which is good. So let's see what JD is going on. What's going on, JD?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. What's happening?
I got a question for you.
Cool. I got answers.
Tenant in a house.
Okay.
Cool. Well, this tenant is really irate. He will not clean the house. It's a mess. It stinks like urine and crap. And he's disabled.
All right.
He didn't divulge any of this before I rented it to him. And now, you know, he's totally a mess. He's gotten worse. The house is destroyed. And I know I've got to go through the normal course of eviction notices and everything and pay all that money out. I'm wondering if there's an alternative, if this guy is violent and sick and he's not well. He's not able to take care of the property like he claimed he could. He's in violation of the lease on many counts. Can I get him extricated
Let's talk about from the beginning, okay? How long has this guy been a tenant?
About 3 months.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, and has he been paying his rent on time?
Yeah, that's it. He hasn't paid anything else, though.
He hasn't paid his rent, and he hasn't paid. So it's a single-family house, or it's a condo? What is it?
He said he is paying his rent.
House. And he's paying the rent, but he hasn't paid any utilities.
So are you billing him the utilities? Or does he have electric in his name?
Sorry?
Does he have electric in his name?
No, it's in my... It's in my name. I collect the cash or the payment from him, and I pay the bills.
Is that on the lease?
So first of all, why isn't the electric in his name?
Because it's my house.
No, the electric is the service goes to him. The electric should be in his name.
Well,
you've never done this. You've never been a landlord before, have you?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so what you're doing is. Well, it's foolish. You should have him put the electric in his own name, so that way, when he doesn't pay his electric bill, the electric gets turned off. Yeah. Now, you can't turn his electric off, because that's basically illegal.
Well, I won't be turning his electric off. If he doesn't pay me, it doesn't get paid, and it goes off.
I understand, but you're the one responsible to pay it. So now, you have to pay that electric, and you have to keep it on, even though he's not paying you for it. So that was a mistake. You got to have him put the electric in his own name. In fact, I don't even let people go into occupy the property until they prove to me the electric's in their name.
Yeah, I do the same thing.
So now the next thing is, the only thing that's difficult is water. The water bill's difficult because that gets leaned on the house. So I tell him, you know, you're paying the water, but you're paying this amount of money a month, and you pay what we call it rent. Okay, but so you said he did pay his rent besides the electric and the other. What kind of heat is it? Gas or oil or electric?
Gas and electric.
And I'm going to guess again that you didn't put the gas in your name. In his name.
Nothing is in his name because he signed the lease that way. He agreed to this.
Yeah, I understand.
He agreed to sign the lease to these terms.
I understand. I'm on your side. I'm just trying to suggest that you never do this again. Okay? He has to put the electric in his name. He has to put the gas in
his name. The thing is, in his situation, he didn't tell the truth about his disability.
Okay,
so
wait, hold on.
He's not capable of taking care of the property.
Okay, but hold on.
The lease there.
Okay, so this is why I say there's no such thing as bad tenants, there's only bad landlords. Because you keep doing this, and I'm trying to help you to be a better landlord next time. And now you're not going to get stuck with an electric bill if you did this right way. You won't get stuck with a gas bill. If he's paying his rent on time, at least
turn it off on him. I'm not planning on turning off anything.
I understand, but you wouldn't have to turn it off. The gas company, electric company would turn it off because he didn't pay them. Okay, so now you have a problem. Now you have that problem.
He's not paying. You're not listening.
I'm not listening, Deb. Could you imagine that? I'm not listening.
Right.
Okay. You know, I'm trying to help the guy, and I'm not listening.
I never said I was going to turn it off.
Okay.
I said he's not paying me.
Right.
Because he's disabled. Okay. I'm going to leave it on because he's in a bad situation.
Good.
But
what would you like to do? Would you like to evict this guy?
He's in violation of the lease.
Would you like to evict the guy?
He's in violation of the lease. And I was wondering.
A judge is going to eat you up.
Is there another alternative?
Yeah, a judge is going to eat you up because you argue with people instead of listening. The judge is going to eat you up. But I'm going to tell you what you need to do with this. You need to immediately file for eviction for violations of the lease, not paying the electric bill. Any other violations that you feel he has, you have to file for eviction. I guarantee that's not what he wants to hear, Deb.
Yeah, I mean, I'm listening to you, and I do, JD, I do agree that you're...
He hung up. Okay,
okay,
good.
So,
you know why he hung up, right?
Because he's angry.
Because he's a terrible landlord, and he doesn't know what he's doing. And when somebody who's a really good landlord, who's been doing this for 43 years, tries to explain it to him, he gets his feathers up.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, I want to do it my way, the wrong way. That's why landlords get in trouble. Yeah. They don't learn how to do this. That's why you got to come to investor schooling. I'm telling you, learn how to be a landlord.
And that's why I hovered over the dump button just on the safe side in case he dropped, you know.
I appreciate that, too.
And I want to throw it out there that I'm always asking Larry for help all the time because I asked you for help just the other day with something that I was struggling with. So it's like I'm always asking for help. And I think that's a big thing. It's like you have to realize when you need help. And I think he's a little frustrated and he doesn't want to hear the help. He just wants to hear it his way. And I get it. When I first started, I was the same way. So it's like now when all these things were happening, I'm like, what the hell's going on? It was just like, okay, let me get somebody who's been doing this for a while. And I have to tell you that I have a whole list of things that this is the things that I have to put in my lease. And I have a document that says, you know, when I'm putting my lease together, add this, and, you know, so I have it. So it's all set, so I make sure not to forget it. And as I hear new things that I don't think about, I always add that to my piece of paper to make sure that I don't miss it moving forward. And the one thing that's nice is that we did, the three of us, it was you, me, and Omri, we did a ad hoc one time.
Yeah,
and it was all about landlord tenants. And then every couple minutes, I'd get off my chair to write something down. And then one of the students are like, hey, Deb, when are you putting that list together? So that list ended up being something like 6 pages. I mean, of all the things that we needed to do. And for our students, it's available on the Facebook page under files or anybody has access to it. But it talks about all, you know, what are you going to say when they're on the phone? What are you going to say when they're in person? What are things you need to add to your lease? What are things you need to do as a landlord? And we talks about insurance. It talks about all the different things that we have to do as a landlord to make sure that we're covering all the bases. And as, like I said, as new things come up, you know, we'll just add to that list. But it came out to, I'm telling you, it's like 6 pages long, written out. So.
I'd love to see this guy's lease. Remember he said he has all that stuff in the lease?
He said he has it all in
the lease. Could you imagine, I'd like to see what lease that he wrote, probably wrote his own lease or got a lease off the internet and modified the lease. Now, remember, I said it before. I said, when he goes in front of a judge, the judge is not going to like him.
No, not at all.
Because if he can't even have a conversation with somebody giving him advice, imagine a conversation you can have with a judge. He keeps the place a mess and he's disabled. I want him out. And the judge is going to go, the guy's disabled. He's paying his rent. He's staying.
Yeah.
Now what are you going to do?
Yeah.
So until you know how to file properly, how to file for eviction properly in this case, because the guy's paying his rent on time. Yeah. If he's not filed for eviction properly, he's not even going to get in front of the judge. The judge is going to laugh at him.
Yeah, the judge is going to just say, you know, thanks and no thanks and go away.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's sad, but, you know, the guy just wants to be, you know, arrogant and ignorant at the same time. And, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And maybe he's listening now. Maybe he's not. Oh, well. Right? He's clearly not coachable anyway. I mean, if I can't even give him a piece of advice for free on the radio, and he doesn't want to take it, you know? And it's funny. Every once in a while, we get students like that.
Yeah.
We have to put them in their place. We have to let them know, look, we're the experts. Listen to us. Learn something.
I think it's a pride thing. Like, people don't want to be told that they're wrong.
Of course.
You know what I mean? It's a total pride thing. And I get it. Like, some people are just like, what do you... You don't know what I'm talking about. This is how it works. And, you know, I think it's a pride thing. So.
Right. Remember, there is no such thing as bad tenants. It's only bad landlords.
Yeah.
And when you understand that, it's great. All right. Anyway, we got Kelly. What's going on, Kelly? Are you there?
And Kelly just hung up.
Oh.
Oh, she hung up?
Yes,
so we must have said something to upset her.
Maybe we insulted her enough. Maybe, you know.
Well, anyway. She was mentioning something about she's a landlord, and she was about to go into why she was calling about it. I said, hold that thought. Let me place you on hold. We'll get you on the air. And as soon as I turned and to, you know, put her on the air, that's when the call dropped. So.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, she might have hit a dead spot, too. I don't, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
You know. But JD, I get JD's arrogance to hang up on me. Because, you know, he might have learned something from me. But whatever. But again, there's no such thing as bad tenants. There's only bad landlords. And I know, and whenever I say that, there's always someone listening going, I had the worst tenant. He was blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And then as I drill it down, it's pretty obvious that it would, the landlord trained this tenant to be a bad tenant because the landlord was a bad landlord. Yeah. I mean, we had one the other day. So Army and I have the mobile home park.
Right.
And the guy paid the rent on the 15th, it's supposed to be due on the 1st, and on the 5th is $125 late fee.
Okay.
So the rent comes in on the 15th, Army comes rushing in to me, goes, we finally got the rent from this guy, he owes the late fee. I'm like, well, make sure you got it. He goes, well, I don't know. And I'm looking at Army, I go, Army, what? I said, you need to understand, I don't collect late fees because I want the late fee. I don't need his $125. Do you know what I need him to do?
Pay on time.
I need him to be trained to pay on time. Right, so if there's a late fee and you enforce the late fee, people eventually start paying their rent on time. So I said, make sure you send him a text message that says he has to pay late fee. So he hands me his phone, and I send him a text message that says, hey, we appreciate you paying the rent. There's $125 late fee. Please pay it. Then he goes off and he starts saying, well, this is broken and that's broken and that's broken. And, you know, and there's my favorite one was there's mildew on the roof. Now, okay. There's not a whole lot of mildew on the roof. It's Florida, you know.
Okay.
You know, roofs have their green, and it's a steel, it's a metal roof, and, you know, it has its moments of turning green, and, you know, you got to power wash it out of it. How that affects him, I don't even understand it. It has nothing to do with it, right? And he had one other crazy question, and it was like nothing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, thank you very much for telling us. We'll look into it. However, make sure you pay your late fee. And then he's like, I'm not paying the late fee because of those problems. I said, you should pay your late fee because there'll be consequences. And he goes on. I go on and on and on and on. And back and forth. And finally I said, pay the late fee or expect to be evicted. This conversation is now over.
Okay.
Well, within an hour, we got a transfer of $125. Nice. Now, I don't want to be a jerk. I mean, I just want the guy to pay his rent on time.
Okay.
So maybe that'll make the rent pay on time. Maybe it won't. I don't know. But the best part is, you know, that the guy understands that we're not going to waiver. Now, I always tell people, for doing this for the first time, I always waive the first. I don't tell the tenant this.
Yeah.
But I always waive the first late fee. And the reason I waive the first late fee is because I'm expecting it.
Okay.
And then I will say to them, I say, listen, you know, whatever excuse they give me, you know, I say the rent's late, you owe a rent late fee, whatever excuse they give me, I then say, listen, you know, as long as you pay the late fee, I said, I'll waive the late fee, but I will never, ever waive it again. So then I could send them a text message, remember I said I would never waive it again? I can't waive it anymore. Anyway, we are out of time. I want to thank all the listeners. I want to thank all the callers. I'm sorry for you, JD. If you're ready to learn how to be a landlord, come to investorschooling.com. That's investorschooling.com. You'll learn how to buy properties. You'll learn how to be a landlord. You'll learn how to maybe be less arrogant. I don't know. And if, Kelly, you want to come by and talk to us or two about investor schooling, go to investorschooling.com. Of course, thank you, Dr. Deb. I'm sorry Armory's not here, and we actually had a better conversation. Shh, don't tell him. Of course, I want to thank Kirk as well for being our producer. We'll see you Thursday night. Go to investorschooling.com. That's investorschooling.com.
This program is paid for by Investor Schooling. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Investor Schooling or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.